Good morning. And welcome, folks. Welcome to worship in Railway Street. We're delighted to have you with us on the 3rd of March. This is our Presbyterian Women's Service, their annual service. So, folks, you're not going to have to listen to me much at all. That's becoming a habit. You didn't have to listen to me last Sunday morning either. But we're delighted that our women are leading us today, and particularly to welcome Shirley McGonigal, who's our speaker today. And Shirley works for the International Meeting Points, and I think most of you by now should already know something of that ministry.
Good morning, everybody. And also on behalf of the PW, I'd like to welcome you to our PW meeting this morning. A warm welcome to everybody present. It's great to see you here. And also, of course, to those who are worshipping and watching online. Also, if there are any visitors, we hope that you will feel very welcome amongst us. Of course, a very warm and special welcome to our guest speaker this morning, Shirley McGonigal, who is the Assistant Project Leader with the International Meeting Point in North Belfast, in the Carlisle Circus Centre there, where those who seek refuge and asylum can experience the love of Jesus through practical help and friendship. Some of us went up to the centre a few months ago and saw at first hand the very important work that Shirley and her team carry out there. And of course, many of you have made very generous donations of toiletries and baby clothes to the so that those who drop in at that centre can use them. If you remember, last year's PW project supported the work at Carlisle Circus by installing a new kitchen. And we have already heard Shirley speak at our PW meeting. And the committee thought that all of you would like to hear more about this rapidly growing ministry within the Presbyterian Church. Shirley, I hope you will enjoy being with us this morning, and we look forward to hearing from you later about all the different work that's going on there. I'd also like to thank Alan and Sarah and Bertha and Ben and Jacob for leading the worship this morning. And a big thanks to everybody who is taking part this morning. Now, you will see envelopes in the pews where you can give an offering towards the PW Mission Fund. Now, this Mission Fund is used, among other things, to help towards the support and training of global mission workers and deaconesses, and to support both home and overseas special PW projects. There are two special home projects this year. First, Reach Mentoring for Young People, which is a Christian charity that focuses on a mentoring program for young people ages 9 to 18 in the schools in the Armagh, Down and Craigavon areas. The second home project supports the fledgling project of Bible Counselling Ireland, a counselling organisation based in the churches in Dublin and is closely linked with Adelaide Road Presbyterian Church. The overseas project this year is connecting with SAT7. Now, this seeks to support women in the Middle East and North Africa through broadcast media and thereby bringing God's love and hope to them and strengthening the faith of many women in these very difficult areas and who are living in very challenging circumstances. So you can either use the envelope today, or if you prefer, take it home and bring it back at a later date. By filling in your details on the front of the envelope, we can claim gift aid, and this can make a huge difference to everybody. So in advance, I would like to thank you very sincerely for your contributions, which will be so helpful to all these organisations. Now, let's worship God as we talk to him in prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you for your greatness, your power, and your glory. We praise you, our mighty Creator. Every time we look at your world, it speaks to us of your sovereign will, your awesome power, and your creative love. Every time we come into your presence, we are amazed by your grace, and we are moved by your care and concern. We praise you for always being there when we need you most, for being there when we least expect it, for being with us when no one else can be there. You lift us up when we are down. You fill us with your grace and share all the twists and turns of our lives, and you hold our days in your hands. We praise you that every time we look to Christ, we are reminded there is nothing you do not understand about our lives. Our confidence is that our souls belong to you and that you are our hope in life and in death. This morning we join to lift up your name and worship you. We bring you our songs of worship and our hymns of praise. We worship you with our words and with our prayers and with our hearts. We celebrate your glory and we give honor to your name. Amen. Psalm 117 reads as follows. Praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol him, all you peoples. For great is his love towards us. And the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord.
Good morning, everyone. It's just a pleasure and a privilege to be with you this morning and to share a little bit about what God is doing in Belfast through the work of the International Meeting Point. But before I start, I'd just like us to bow our heads and pray. Father, we thank you for your holy word. We thank you that your word contains truth and life and hope. Lord, I pray that as we think upon you and as we think of Isaiah 58, as we think of serving you, that you would challenge us, that you would speak to us, and that you would remind us, Lord, of your love for the whole world. In Christ's name, amen. So International Meeting Point is actually part of the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. Some of you may know that, some of you may not, but is very much supported financially and prayerfully by the whole of the Presbyterian Church across the island of Ireland. Our mission, our aim, our ministry is to work with asylum seekers and refugees, and it has been going now since 2010. More recently in North Belfast, a second centre was opened just before COVID, but really over the last couple of years we have seen growth. But before I start to talk in depth about what is happening in North Belfast and a little bit in South, I just want to say a heartfelt thank you. Not just myself, but on behalf of the whole team. So Keith and Henry, Jeanette, Sharon, Robert, myself, and the whole team of volunteers who are all working in Lisburn Road and Carlisle Circus. We could not do what we do without your support. Your generous giving to the United Appeal annually contributes to the work that we do. Your generous giving personally directly to the work of International Meeting Point contributes to the work that we do. The PW special project last year has had a huge impact on the work of the International Meeting Point in North Belfast in particular. We could not do what we are currently doing without the generous support, financial and practical, of God's people, but also prayerful support. We cannot do anything on our own strength, and we lean in daily to God, and we need your prayers for the work that we are doing. Your support enables us to serve God in obedience to his command, to love the stranger in our land, to feed and clothe those who are in desperate need, and to share salvation in Jesus with those who have never heard or who have a distorted view of the truth of the gospel. But why are we doing this? Personally speaking, that passage that was read from Isaiah 58 challenged me to my core in June of 2021. It was a usual routine day of Bible reading. There was nothing unusual going on. But as I read these verses from Isaiah 58, I was deeply challenged. I felt God saying to me, "Surely you are doing all the right things, but you're not truly serving me, and I want more." And on that particular day, I wrote in my diary, "Lord, I'm putting down a marker today. I don't know what you're saying to me, but I know that you're saying something." And the verse that spoke out to me most of all was the one that's on the screen. A rebuke to me, a challenge to me. "Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and to break every yoke." That was in June of 2021. And in March 2 years ago, I took up a position alongside Keith, Henry, Jeanette and the others in Sharon in International Meeting Point. And over the last 2 years, it has become very, very clear to me that this verse from Isaiah describes exactly the situations of many, many people that we meet on a daily basis at the International Meeting Point. And I now know why God spoke to me through that verse and challenged me. International Meeting Point is one of many Christian organisations seeking to untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free. But our particular focus is on the increasing number of suffering people who are seeking sanctuary in Northern Ireland. But can I challenge you? As God's people, we all have a responsibility to fight against injustice and oppression, whether it's against an individual or whether it's against a whole swathe of society. And can I ask, how might God want you, and how might God want me, to continue to worship him in the way that he truly desires? Who do we serve at the International Meeting Point? Just before COVID, Henry did a survey on the Lisburn Road Centre. And in approximately about a year, there were 700 people who came through the doors of the Lisburn Road Centre and 45 plus nationalities. He created this pie chart from the nationalities that were represented. And you can see that the largest number of people that we are welcoming are from Eritrea. I don't know if you've heard of Eritrea before. Some of you may, some of you may not. But it's a small country in Africa. And on the Open Doors watch list, it is currently number 4. It's the 4th most dangerous country in the world to be a Christian. There's a violent insurgent group called Al-Shabaab, and they're repeatedly expressing their desire to eradicate, that's the word they use, to eradicate Christians. Let me tell you about Hannah. Hannah, a young single mother who had made the journey from Eritrea and ended up in Belfast and ended up in the English classes on the Carlisle Centre, IMP. She came regularly, and each week she came a little bit earlier. And then she told me she was being moved to Manchester by the Home Office. She gave me a hug and she said, "Shirley, you have no idea the freedom that I've experienced in your country. I can talk about Jesus with you every Tuesday morning without fear." And I said, "You're right, Hannah. I have no idea. I have no idea." I can go to midweek meetings, I can go to church, I can read my Bible, I can talk to people freely about my Lord. I have no idea what it was like for you in Eritrea. Somalia, on our pie chart on the screen, is the fourth one round. But in North Belfast, I'm meeting a lot from Somalia. And again, the World Watch List, Somalia is number two, the second most dangerous place in the world to be a Christian. I'd like to share with you the story about Natalie and her daughter. Natalie was coming to the same English class as Hannah. Her English was minimal, limited to hello, how are you, I'm fine, how are you, all at once and all very quickly in rapid succession. But her daughter had a day off school. There was a teacher's day and she's P1. And she came with Natalie and her English was impeccable. And we were talking about Jesus. We were making angels. It was around Christmas time. And Natalie's little daughter came up to me and she whispered in my ear, "In my country, we can't talk about Jesus. We get killed." And my heart broke. A child of four who understands that you can be killed for your faith. These are the people we are serving in the International Meeting Point. People who love Jesus, our brothers and sisters in Christ, who have running away from death and persecution in their own country. But who else are we serving? You'll see on the pie chart we have Syria. We've heard about Syria. We know about the war. We know about the terrible destruction of the earthquake last year. But Tamima comes from Syria. Tamima comes faithfully to class every week. A few weeks ago, she was showing me photographs of her house in Syria. A beautiful house, equivalent to the biggest house you could see on the Malone Road. Gorgeous gardens, flowers everywhere. And then she scrolled to the next one and she showed me a photograph of it just before they'd left. Complete rubble, destroyed. And she was in tears. Fleeing war, would much rather be it back at home in her own country, but it's impossible. Nadia and Vadim from Ukraine came through the centre doors a year ago. Vadim is 16 years old. There was no place for him in a school in Belfast. He spent the last year attending his Ukrainian school online. He's desperate to do his exams. He wants to do A-levels. He wants to go to university. He has huge dreams and hopes. But he's here with his mother and his father is back in Ukraine. War, tearing families apart, ruining people's lives. Munira from South Sudan hasn't heard from her family now in 6 months. And every Friday she comes in and says, "How are you, Shirley? How's your family?" And I reply, and I know that she doesn't know how her family is. War. On the pie chart, you have Iran. Over the last year, that has become a country increasingly polarized. And a violation of human rights is rampant. A mother fled with her sick husband, dying of cancer, and her two adult children. She fled from Tehran and arrived in Belfast at the International Meeting Point. She was a chef, the owner of a very successful restaurant in Tehran. She was ordered to give up her job, leave the restaurant, or she would be murdered because a woman can't have a business and certainly can't be a chef and manage the whole restaurant. She took the journey with her sick husband. Desperate. Foreigners, strangers, forced to flee terror, forced to flee death, persecution. What does God have to say about all of this? God's heart is for the foreigner and the stranger in our land. There are numerous references in the Old Testament to this. In fact, Deuteronomy chapter 10, we choose part of it as our line, International Meeting Point. But I'd like you to look at it in this version on the screen. Deuteronomy chapter 10. This version is taken from the Message. God, your God, my God, is the God of all gods. He's the master of all masters, a God immense and powerful and awesome. That is the God we know and worship today. But let's read on. He doesn't play favorites. Just like I said to the children, it doesn't matter what we eat, what we wear, what color our skin is, what language we speak, we are all loved the same. God doesn't play favorites. He takes no bribes. He's a God of justice. He makes sure that orphans and widows are treated fairly. He takes loving care of foreigners by seeing that they get food and clothing. God's heart is for the foreigner. There are numerous references in the Old Testament. Leviticus 19, you shall love the foreigner as yourself. Job 21, but Lord, I championed the cause of the foreigner. Ezekiel 47, the foreigner who resides among you shall be citizens of Israel. And Jesus himself in Matthew 25, I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me in. Northern Ireland is experiencing an influx of people from strange lands, speaking foreign languages and following different customs and traditions. People who have been displaced and uprooted. Do we welcome them? Many of them will be brothers and sisters in Christ. Do we welcome them? Do we welcome the foreigner? Let me rephrase that. Do we welcome the asylum seeker? Do we welcome the refugee, irrespective of where they come from, what language they speak, the colour of their skin? We are all called to this. We, the people of God, are living alongside many who are experiencing a deeply difficult and distressing time. We know God, and we can speak hope and love and compassion and ultimately salvation in Jesus' name. We don't have to travel the world. The world is coming here. And God's plan for salvation from the very beginning, as told in Genesis, through his covenant with Abraham, was always for all people on earth. All nations are here in Northern Ireland. A quick trip to Belfast city centre is all you need to confirm that truth. Let me talk now about International Meeting Point. Two centres. One is in the south of the city and it's well established. It's on the Lisburn Road and many of you will know of it. It's been going now for 10 or 11 years, maybe more, and aspects of the ministry are exactly the same as they were when they first started. I'll just rattle off some of the things that are happening in the Lisburn Road Centre on a daily basis. Providing clothing, providing toiletries, helping to fill in forms for people who don't speak English, making phone calls to the GP, well, we know how difficult that is, signposting to statutory and non-statutory bodies that can be of assistance, helping people move whenever they are told to leave a temporary accommodation to go somewhere else, walking alongside them through that long process, English classes, Bible studies, Alpha course, friendship, support, a welcoming space, lunch, food bank. The list is huge. But there is just one massive difference that International Meeting Point in South Belfast is seeing in the last year or two. The number of people. The number of people has exploded. You might remember at the beginning, I showed you the pie chart and said that Henry had noted down 700 people in a year. South Belfast is catering for 100 people a day. 100 people a day are having lunch in South Belfast. And what we're also experiencing is a terrible rise in mental health and well-being, problems with trauma. The people who are arriving have had horrendous journeys. The routes they've had to come are illegal, and they've been abused, financially abused, physically abused, emotionally abused. Trauma, deep trauma. North Belfast is now in existence in response to the increasing number of refugees who were arriving and then being housed by the Home Office in the north of the city. And God had prepared the way for North Belfast, and I can see that clearly now. In 2019 and early 2020, before everything shut down for COVID, Keith Preston and the North Belfast Presbytery opened up a charity shop just directly on Carlisle Circus called the Op Shop. That was the first venture of IMP into North Belfast. A small toddler group began on a Friday morning. This happened with the Presbyterian support of PCI, but also with the prayerful support of the North Belfast Presbytery, who made buildings available for the shop and for the toddler group. And Carlisle Circus is the absolutely perfect location. Why do I say that? Because since COVID, the Home Office is transferring huge numbers of people from the hotels in the city centre out into North Belfast, into housing. And for them to get into the city centre, there's only one way in, and that's via Carlisle Circus. So asylum seekers and refugees are being housed up the Antrim Road, the Crumlin Road and beyond. And to get into the city centre, they walk past International Meeting Point. It's just fantastic. The shop has been meeting the needs of people in the local community and now in the asylum-seeking community. Frances in the middle is the manager of the shop, and she is providing, along with her team, very reasonable, very non-existent prices, really, of baby clothes and equipment for anybody who's in need. And she's reaching out to people, not just from North Belfast local community, but the asylum community. And God is drawing people in off the relentless pull of the city at that roundabout, Carlisle Circus. Frances is gifted with a prayer ministry. And as she meets people, she often ends up praying with people. God is using the Op Shop in an incredible way, practical support, emotional support, and spiritual. But Frances needs more volunteers. If you could spare a morning or an afternoon once a week or every now and again, we would be very, very grateful. The new International Meeting Point Centre in North Belfast is now in Old St. Enoch's Church Hall, which is tucked in round the back of the Op Shop. It started very small, as I said, in 2019 with a parent and toddler group, and there was one English class on a Monday night and a small Bible study. 2 years later, we have a busy, bustling toddlers group every Friday morning. Last week we had 19 parents and 22 kids. It was chaos, but wonderful. We now have gone from one English class to 8 English classes. We have a Bible study which welcomes people from the local and the asylum-seeking community. And we also have a drop-in on Wednesday and Thursday for free lunch. And just a couple of weeks ago, we ran out of soup for the first time. God is at work. I'd like to tell you a little bit about each of these ministries in turn, and I'll start with the mums and tots. Mothers and grannies and daddies and carers meet in the teeny tots toddler group on a Friday morning. God's presence is in the hall. There is absolutely no doubt about this. And we're thankful. And we'd like you to continue to pray that that would remain so. Let me describe what I mean by that. Picture in your mind a lady called Georgie from the New Lodge Road, hard as nails, tattoos everywhere, fair number of piercings, rough and ready. Picture Manna from Sudan. Manna comes every week but is always late, Africa time. But she hadn't been for a number of weeks. And then she came in late one week, and Georgie from the New Lodge was standing at the back of the hall, and she jumped up, literally jumped up out of her seat, ran across the hall, hugged Manna and said, "We missed you. Where have you been?" And I just saw in that moment something very, very precious. Two people in the city centre, hugging and laughing and enjoying each other's friendship from two very, very, very different communities. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. God is creating a sense of community and friendship through the Mums and Tots group on a Friday morning. Then there's little Noel, who was 2 years old. This is last year, but I still remember it. Noel is from a Muslim family. And at the end of every Friday morning, we always have a story time and a song time. And initially, we were hesitant whether to introduce this or not, because it is 50-50 Muslim and non-Muslim who would come. But we prayed and we believed that God wanted us to do it, so we did it. And after a few weeks, it continued and no one had walked out, and we were very thankful. And then one Friday morning, little Noel from a Muslim family was strutting around the hall singing, "My God is so big, so strong and so mighty." And I thought, that is amazing. God is at work, a little Muslim boy who's learning English and is learning about God. We cannot underestimate the importance of English classes in the work that we do. People who arrive here often have very little English. They are going to struggle to integrate at a human level, never mind at a practical level. They need to be able to communicate in English with their neighbours, with the school teachers, with the receptionists on the phone at the GP surgery, with the housing executive, with when it comes to the point where they want to look for a job. But even more than that, to feel they belong here. They make friends here. They integrate here when they learn English. And the Belfast Met has huge waiting lists. So in the interim, International Meeting Point, we can provide really good quality teaching as our friends from across the world wait to get into the Met. I've explained how we've grown from one English class to eight, and the numbers in those English classes are getting bigger and bigger. South Belfast, it's almost unbelievable. They have 50 to 60 people in a class. The work is phenomenal. It is developing, and we give God praise for that. But we do need more help. We need more teachers. We need more volunteers who can sit in the class and just be a friend beside someone who's trying to learn. It makes all the difference to have when you have a big class of people, to have two or three people scattered in amongst the people who are learning to guide and direct, to reassure and to enjoy. I'd like to share with you a little bit about the ladies group, which is where I'm seeing God really at work. Every Tuesday we meet. It's a casual, informal class. There's no grammar or writing. It's all conversation. It's reading. It's playing games. It's having a cup of coffee and sharing food together. And friendships are really building. Asma is a Muslim lady who lost her mother a month ago. And she came to me off her own bat and asked me to pray for her. It's being able to mourn with those who mourn. It's being able to share the compassion of Christ. Martha from Portugal, an older lady who came over to mind her daughter's children, was very lonely. She comes every Tuesday and she laughs and laughs. And she loves having friends. Daria, a Palestinian woman to horrific trauma on her journey with her two young children. She's been coming regularly now for nearly 2 years. She started to come to church on a Sunday morning. She now has a bilingual copy of the New Testament, and she is seeking Christ. That is through the work of the International Meeting Point. Muslim ladies, non-believers, people from different cultures who sense that there is more to life through what God is doing and saying through the International Meeting Point. Please do pray for us. I'd like to talk very briefly about the home project from last year and show you a before and after. I don't think the after has been seen by the PW ladies. But the before, there's our kitchen before with the hatch, which was terribly badly designed. I don't know who did it. But if you wanted a cup of coffee, you had to bend and say, coffee, milk, one sugar. And if you were serving the coffee, you had to bend and say, there you are. You couldn't have a conversation. It was impossible. Fast forward to September of last year, and we can see that hospitality is now a main feature of what we do in North Belfast. The kitchen has been renewed and transformed and has opened up a huge, a whole new world of ministry. With our drop-in, we're able to provide a warm, safe place where people can come in and relax on a Wednesday and a Thursday. We serve fresh, homemade soup, tea, coffee, and cakes. We have people from the local community coming in. We have people from the asylum-seeking community coming in. And just like the Mums and Tots group, we are seeing a mix of cultures and communities in our hall, and we know that that is God at work. We have regulars, we have walk-ins, but we are serving and meeting people's needs in a practical way through food, friendship, and warmth. But more than that, we are pointing to Christ. We are serving in the light and the love and the life of Christ. And conversations are turning to Christ. People are asking for prayer. People are asking questions about who Jesus is. We give out literature freely, and we always have time to talk. People are hungry. North Belfast is a dark place, and God is the answer, and his light must shine. The Bible study that meets on a Thursday morning has been also a way that God is developing the work. Local and new believers are meeting on a Thursday morning to talk about the Bible. We've looked at the Old Testament, and we're looking currently at the Gospel of Luke. The conversations that we have are fascinating, and we have people who live in Iran and recognize Old Testament sites and get excited about a piece of culture that resonates with them. When we have a Catholic person from a very legalistic tradition who now is exploring Christ as her Savior. There's a church plant in the same building, and that occurred 2 years ago. Grace and Hope Church is a church plant of Westkirk Presbyterian Church. They have since had to move into the Hopelink Centre to have more space. People are hungry for the Lord. Majd is a man from Iran who travelled over 2 years ago. And through the process of time and conversations with Peter, the pastor at Grace and Hope Church, he accepted Christ as his Saviour. And Grace and Hope Fellowship had the wonderful experience of baptizing him into the faith. There is spiritual hunger. There are increased numbers at the Bible study, Lisburn Road in particular. The Alpha Course, many Muslims are on a spiritual quest. Alpha Course in Farsi, Iranians rejecting Islam and seeking the truth. The truth brings freedom. Freedom that is spiritual freedom. And many Muslims know that there is not spiritual freedom in their Islamic faith. I'll tell you about Stephen. Stephen came to me a couple of years ago and he said, I will search the truth. I will investigate the Quran and Islam, and I will investigate Christianity. Whichever one is true, I will follow. Several months later, he came back. He He'd chosen Jesus. He started coming to the Bible study. He started to come to church. And then the Home Office moved him to Scotland. We didn't want him to go. We wanted to keep him. He wanted to stay. And then the day before he was due to leave, he came into the hall and said, I am going. And we said, why? I want to tell more people about Jesus. And we felt rebuked. Where will you be tomorrow? Where will I be? Wherever we find ourselves, let us ask God, our Father in heaven, to show us how we can work to break the yokes of injustice, poverty, fear, despair, how we can help to set the oppressed free. But ultimately, let us ask God, our Heavenly Father, to fill us with his Spirit, that we might declare the truth of the deep love of God and the gift of life in Christ Jesus to everyone we meet, whether it's someone we know well or someone we've never met before, someone who speaks our language or someone who doesn't. I'll leave you with a final story of an Iranian friend who came into the family of God. On his dangerous journey, he had a dream, a vivid dream, where Jesus spoke to him. He didn't understand the dream, and he didn't realize it was Jesus, but he was desperate to know what it meant. Eventually, after many, many months, he arrived in Belfast, and he stumbled across the International Meeting Point for English classes. He met people who shared with him exactly who Jesus is and who opened up the Bible with him. He has experienced freedom. He is now a Christian. He is a child of God. And he knows the truth now of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Let's join together in prayer. Father, thank you that you are a God of infinite love and perfect justice. Thank you that though we by nature are separated from you, you in your grace and mercy give us the incredible gift of eternal life through faith in Christ, your one and only Son. Thank you, Father, that this amazing truth is for everyone. Help us to grasp a little more today the depth of your love, and grant us your Spirit to equip us all as we seek to share this truth with family, friends, and strangers, and as we seek to loosen the chains of injustice, show us, Lord, how you want us to do that. And we pray this in Christ's name and for your glory. Amen. Let's join together in our final hymn, What Grace Is Mine. Thank you very much for your very warm welcome. And I'd like to finish by praying the grace. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.